I'm pretty excited about this whole new class. I think we're going to have a whole new things going on in Washington, D.C. come January.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, another hot topic related to all this is Nancy Pelosi.
I think we have to respect what Nancy Pelosi has done, you know, in terms of breaking through that glass ceiling for other women. But at the same time, the old Democratic Guard failed us in 2016.
Yeah, there's a degree of hand-holding that it feels like is happening. You know, people who have been in power for a long time who understandably want things to be handed over smoothly, but I'm seeing a little bit more, you know, instructing and a little bit less handing over.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Powering Up, a cross-generational, cross-cultural conversation about female power, what it looks like, why it's important, and what we can all do to claim our power and put it to work individually and collectively. I'm Ann Doyle.
And I'm Monica Doyle. Ann is my aunt. And I'm really happy to have my cousin Kevin on today. He's proven to be a really great feminist and ally. Today is going to be a little bit more conversational while we talk about some interesting current events.
Yeah, the whole idea about this was we are recording on Thanksgiving week of November, and we thought, well, what's coming up is probably a lot of controversial conversations around dinner tables. Some people are afraid of those conversations. Other people relish them as much as the pumpkin pie. So let's just try it. Let's see what kind of conversation we can have amongst the three of us.
Well, I kind of want to hear what Kevin thinks about a lot of the pictures that are going around on the internet right now about, like, or they're just showing pictures of the comparison of the GOP elect and the Democratic elect, and it's vastly different.
Oh, it's great.
Well, that's interesting because it's mostly white men on the other side there, and Kevin weighing in as a white man doesn't bother you, huh?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I think that, you know, the more diverse, the better, you know, so we can get people from different walks of life and different experiences, you know, to just bring a different, you know, a different set of skills to the table when it comes to, you know, making laws that represent everybody in this country, not just people like me.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that really is incredible about what happened is that, you know, they're still counting in some states. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a couple of races that they're not sure about. But at this point, there are at least 123 women elected to this new Congress that'll begin in January. And of those 123, only 19 are Republican. So there's a dramatic difference there in terms of the two parties, in terms of, you know, Republican Party still electing mostly white men. Mm-hmm. And this is, to me, it's just dramatic. I was looking it up, and it said basically that, you know, we've never had more than 84 women serving in Congress before.
And so what's for the number now?
At least 123. So that's like a dramatic.
A huge leap.
It's a huge leap. And not only that, I mean, you know what they look like, right?
Yeah.
For example?
There's a Native American woman on. There's a whole bunch. I think there's a couple Asian women, right?
I know there's two Muslim women, first ever in Congress. One of them is from Michigan, one from Minnesota. First transgender woman elected a senator from Arizona?
From Arizona.
I'm wrong about that. She is, the senator is from Arizona, woman is openly bisexual.
Okay, yeah.
But I think there is a transgender person elected. Is that right?
I think that was a little bit of an older story.
Oh, okay. Kevin, do you know?
Trans-
yeah. Well, here in Michigan, you know, we record in the Detroit metropolitan area, and I was pretty proud of Michigan because all three of our top statewide offices, governor, attorney general, and secretary of state. Women won those. Yeah. And our attorney general is, future attorney general, is a married lesbian woman.
Uh-huh.
And my brother, Vince, he said to me, you know what? I didn't even know that. And the great thing is it didn't come up as an issue during the campaign.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's important because a lot of times when it comes to candidates like that, like this, they tend to focus on something that's going to make them stand apart when it seems to become... It seems to downplay their abilities. It's like, elect me because I'm a lesbian. No, we elected her because she's competent. Mm-hmm. That was just a side factor that has absolutely no bearing on her ability to lead. Like, the same as being a woman. It has absolutely no bearing on somebody's ability to make decisions, on somebody's ability to work in government. And I think it's important that, like, yes, we have a diverse group of people running, you know, our state, our government, but we have to remember that it's the qualifications that everybody can be qualified, everybody has a say, and everybody can, you know, help us with this.
You know, and I think this is so cool, and Kevin, weigh in here. You and I, as mother and son, have had these conversations, but, you know, because I'm a baby boomer, I think there were days when I thought I'd never live long enough to see us at this point. And here the two of you are kind of like going, yeah, taking it for granted. Do you take this for granted, Kevin?
No, not at all. I mean, I know how hard a lot of these candidates fought. And it's definitely not something we should take for granted. And we should keep pushing for more women, more minorities, more people, you know, whatever sexuality, to be in Congress. And positions of political positions, even down to the local level.
Yeah, talking about the local level, there was a 19-year-old college freshman, female, elected to the state legislature in New Hampshire.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was elected. I was reading about her. One thing she attributed her, the fact that she had the confidence, you know, and the understanding of government, you know, at such a young age to run for office, to being a Girl Scout and things that she learned in the Girl Scouts. But she also said that she had fought for a couple of years in her state and actually successfully changed the laws about child marriage because of a Girl Scout conference she was at a couple of years ago where they were basically talking about these old laws, very, very old laws, that allowed girls to be married at age 14 and boys at age 15 without the consent of a judge.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Like bad sick, not good sick.
Right. And some legislators who didn't take her candidacy seriously said, oh, well, you know, she's just a Girl Scout running for office. And don't ever take those Girl Scouts for granted.
And also that really gets me because a lot of people, like a lot of these, you know, white men running for government are like, I was a Boy Scout growing up. And it's like, how come that is important for that guy, but it's a down player for her? You know, and I personally never got much out of Girl Scouts. I would rather have been a Boy Scout. But.
Oh, wow. Don't get me going on that. Don't get me going on that one. That's a hot topic because I'm furious about the fact that the Boy Scouts, because they're losing members and they're looking over to the other half of the population and saying, oh, there's a new market for us, and deciding that they would be the great place for girls, that we're all just going to be scouts. And I totally disagree with that.
What? I love that. I think that's excellent because I didn't want to be part of Girl Scouts. I didn't want to go spend the night in the mall growing up. I didn't want to do any of that. I didn't want to do girls' hair. I didn't want to dress.
Well, you obviously didn't know much about Girl Scouts because, for example, this New Hampshire
Girl Scouts.
Well, you must have been a bad troop. That sounds like an awful troop. Is that what your troop was doing?
That was part of the Girl Scout curriculum, was going and staying the night in the mall and doing hair and having fashion shows. And I remember being the girl in our group who wore the boyish clothes in the store when we did our fashion mall trip. And I didn't want to do a runway show.
Well, that was a weird chapter. What do you call it? Girl Scout troop. That was a weird troop you were part of because, you know, this Girl Scout in New Hampshire was, you know, they were at a conference about governance. You know, you can get badges and leadership. I mean, the Girl Scouts are all about leadership and everything. So I think that's too bad that you had that experience. And, you know, they were just saying that close to 60% of the women just elected to Congress were Girl Scouts, including our new governor, Gretchen Whitmer, and many of them attributed to the experiences they had to that training as young women.
Kevin, what were you going to say?
I was saying that, Monica, I assume you were in Girl Scouts, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, maybe things have changed since then.
I'm certain things have changed. Go ahead.
I think it's awesome that they went to, you know, they were talking about governance at their conference or whatever. I definitely would not have expected that.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding or maybe stereotypes about what the Girl Scouts are compared to the Boy Scouts because they were basically saying, yeah, you know, I don't want to go shopping and do fashion shows. You know, I want to go out and exploring in the woods. And Girl Scouts are all about that, too. Yeah.
I spent a single year in the Girl Scouts because I had such a terrible experience with it.
Well, that's understandable. That's too bad.
And, yeah, and I just remember seeing my brother in Cub Scouts, and I wanted to do the stuff that they were doing, you know? And so whether it's about, you know, the Girl Scout curriculum or the leadership, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Scouts opening up their programming to girls who maybe want to mix in with the boys. You know, and I'm fine with Girl Scouts doing their thing and, you know, female camaraderie and stuff like that. But I don't see why the Scouts can't just be the Scouts.
Well, I'll tell you this, that the Boy Scouts have had some serious problems of sexual abuse of little boys. And so in this
Me
Too environment.
Church.
Yeah, so is the Catholic Church. But the Girl Scouts have not had that problem with girls. And so, you know, if the Boy Scouts can't protect their boys, I certainly wouldn't want my girl
being turned over
to troop leaders who, you know, and you have young adolescent boys and they're all going out camping together.
I feel like that's a pretty wide generalization.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do is I actually have a my brother-in-law who was a scout leader and his son became an Eagle Scout, your cousin, Daniel, Kevin, and he is adamantly opposed to girls coming into Boy Scouts. So let's continue this conversation. You can jump in with him, Monica.
Oh, is he here?
No, not today. It'll be a whole other hot topic. But let's get back to this big theme because another thing I want your opinions on are, you know, among this incredible class of young women who've been elected to, of women, period, of all ages, who've been elected to Congress, probably one of the most high profile is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, from New York. And she, there's been a lot of coverage about her, including mocking her for saying she couldn't afford an apartment in Washington, D.C. until she gets her congressional salary in January, and also mocking her clothing. Have you seen any of that? Kind of shaming her.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple of mentions of it. I haven't read into it in detail, but that sounds to me like the issue we were talking about just a second ago of the GOP elects not representing a diverse group of people, not representing the people who they represent.
I don't think it was other legislators that were shaming her. I think it was media.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured it would be, but it,
Fox News.
Well, yes, yeah, so that's the conservative
okay,
media.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Yeah, if you right. Kevin, have you heard any of that or seen any of that coverage?
I have seen that coverage and I actually had a friend I went to high school with on Facebook say that if you can't, you know, if you don't have 3 months of living wages saved up, you shouldn't be in Congress. Power.
Wow.
Did you
respond to that?
I was appalled by that. You know, it's very common all across this country for people to be living paycheck to paycheck, and I don't think that should exclude them from any position of government.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying earlier, we need people from all walks of life to represent the country in the positions of power.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's something that, you know, the people who are living paycheck to paycheck, the people who aren't making, you know, enough money to just pick up and move whenever, I think it's at least a little bit comforting to know that there's somebody who understands what it's like to live that way, who is now going to have an effective opinion on this type of thing.
Well, that's diversity of experience, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk a lot about diversity, gender diversity, cultural diversity, racial diversity, all these things, but diversity of experience,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, understanding, you know, like, what was it that, didn't President Trump say recently that you needed an ID to buy milk or to go shopping at a food store? And I'm thinking, okay, has this person never gone into a food store and bought things for himself? Where did you even get that idea?
Well, one thing some of the other people were, like, harking on was that video of him getting on the plane and he can't close his own stinking umbrella. Like, he couldn't figure out how to close an umbrella.
Yeah, well.
And I mean, so I thought that was interesting because they were comparing that to, you know, his disconnect with American society. He's always been rich. You know, I always hear those videos of him saying, oh, I got a modest $1 million loan from my father.
It was actually $413 million in today's dollars.
Oh, my gosh. But like, to me, the fact that he constantly says modest $1 million loan, like, I will never see that much money in my life, you know? And he's calling it modest. That this guy never, ever knew what the average American person experiences.
And I think that it's not just Donald Trump. It is, and this is a lot of many Americans' frustration across all party lines, of feeling there's this elite who are making decisions for all the American family,
mm-hmm.
and they really don't have the perspective, which is why, you know, diversity of thought, diversity of experience is as important as, you know, diversity of gender and race. And that's why I'm pretty excited about this whole new class. I think we're going to have a whole new things going on in Washington, D.C. come January.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, another hot topic related to all this is Nancy Pelosi. You know, she has been, she was the first ever woman Speaker of the House. Very, very powerful, effective speaker. And now there's a lot of people trashing her, trying to get her out, including many of these young women who've just been elected. I have an opinion on this, but I'm interested in your thoughts, Kevin, and Monica's, before I weigh in.
So, I mean, personally, I've been trying to get, like, a wider perspective on that, because I admittedly don't have a great deal of experience knowing, you know, about that particular position. So I'm kind of interested to hear why those women don't want her as the speaker. I'm interested to hear their reasoning behind it. If it hadn't come up, I would have not cared either way if it was her or somebody else. But I don't want to silence those people. I don't want to be like, oh, well, you shut up. Don't have your opinion. I want to hear what they have to say, basically, before I put my two cents, which are inexperienced, into the ring.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, do you have an opinion on it?
Yeah. I mean, I know why a lot of these new up-and-coming congresswomen sort of want new leadership. And we were just talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez actually was involved at a sit-in at Nancy Pelosi's office for the climate change organization just a few days ago. And I think we have to respect what Nancy Pelosi has done, you know, in terms of breaking through that glass ceiling for other women. But at the same time, you know, this sort of old guard of the Democrats, I think it's time for them to start, you know, taking a step backward and letting other people.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That the old Democratic Guard failed us in 2016. You know, the American people didn't want it. Well, I shouldn't say that. Hillary Clinton did win the
She did win vote. The majority. Yeah, she did win more votes of the populace. Right.
I do think it's time for them to step aside.
Yeah, there's a degree of hand-holding that it feels like is happening. You know, people who have been in power for a long time who understandably want things to be handed over smoothly, but I'm seeing a little bit more, you know, instructing and a little bit less handing over. You know, so like I said, my opinion is inexperienced in this area, but I wouldn't mind seeing some younger representation in higher places.
Well, here's my two cents on this, and that is that number one, I totally agree with the fact that it's time, you know, for this next generation, you know, new leadership to begin stepping forward, and that was. Couldn't have been more true than when we were watching the Kavanaugh hearings and you had these 80-some-year-old senators who, you know, have been in power on the Judiciary Committee, you know, for decades. And, you know, it's really definitely time. But I would also say this, too, and that is the time to change your generals is not the night before a big battle. And we have an incredible opportunity coming up here, a very important historic opportunity for where you have a very, very different Congress, where the House of Representatives now is in a position to provide some balance to this administration that's been just running wild with no control at all, no checks and balances from the Republican Party. And so Nancy Pelosi has an incredible track record as an experienced tactician who understands how to get legislation passed. She achieved getting the Affordable Care Act, which was not passed for decades and decades. They failed at that. She is also the biggest fundraiser in the history of the Democratic Party. So she raised over $130 million. She did this election cycle. And so when you have just elected more Democrats to Congress than ever, than since Watergate, the time to throw somebody out who was in charge of that is not at this moment. I think phasing her out, the time for new leadership is 2020, but not at this moment right now. And I also heard, for example, Alyssa Slotkin, who was just elected to Congress from the state of Michigan, very incredible background, working in the CIA, several tours in Iraq. She was just elected, and she did say during the campaign that she would not support Nancy Pelosi. Some of these people did say that during their campaign. But now that she's about to take office, I have heard her say, well, yes, we need new leadership, but let's see who else is running. I mean, at the moment, there really aren't any other strong candidates for that. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about it.
I think that candidacy matters, and I do understand what you're saying, but as like a young person who has had that hand-holding happen before, who has had the opportunity to just jump in and try something new, knowing that I could fully well do it, I feel like it's becoming an excuse more often nowadays that this person is more experienced, this person is more experienced. That's pretty much how we get a guy who's been in his exact position for decades, staying in the same spot. You know, it's like these people don't move out of these positions to let a younger person through. And yes, now is a very tumultuous time, but I think if there was a younger candidate that came through, and if I felt confident despite a lack of historical experience, I think I would probably be more interested in seeing a person closer to my age.
Well, I think that would be a terrible mistake at this historical moment in time. And I agree with it's time for the new generation to start stepping up, but you don't put them in charge of flying a 747 in a crisis, and we're in a crisis.
Even if they're trained to do it?
It's like,
we've trained you to do this. We've trained you to do this for years and years.
They're not.
We've been training you to do this, but maybe just let me do it this one last time.
You want to say anything here, Kevin? Because Monica and I are obviously at the opposite ends of this Thanksgiving table. Once again.
I will say that millennials came out in droves this election, and I'm pretty sure it didn't have much to do with Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
Well, I hope you start giving money, too, because it takes a lot of money to get people elected.
Guess what millennials don't have? Millennials don't have any money because we don't have any representation in government who understands that we can't pay our rent because our college is too frickin' high. It's cyclical, if you ask me. A lot of this stuff goes kind of around. And so that's another one of the reasons I want to see new people is because, yes, it could go badly, but it's not going to topple the entire system. I'd like to see some new things tried. And I'd even like to see some new things fail. I'd just like to see something change.
Gosh, that sounds like how we got Donald Trump elected president. Okay.
An old 70-year-old guy?
Anyway.
I elected Donald Trump president. That was me.
Yeah. All right. We know that didn't happen. But, this has been, I think, an interesting kind of a different podcast for us. There are a couple of other things that happened this week. One was the death of Stan Lee. And I know both of you, Monica and Kevin, are both comic book fans. And actually, we're going to do a podcast in the future about Comic-Con, which Monica had me go to. And
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And Kevin has been educating me about comic book heroes and taking me to a lot of these incredible movies that I know Stan Lee really probably created a lot of those characters. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, he had a huge influence on most of those.
Definitely, yep.
Tell us, for anybody who isn't a Stan Lee fan, maybe, Kevin, tell us a little bit about why he was so important.
Stan Lee, at a very young age, became a editor at Marvel Comics and created, some of the biggest superheroes that we know today.
I think Spider-Man was one of his most famous, headings, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know he created, Spider-Man. I looked that up. But also what I read was that he was the first who really started creating a lot of female sheroes in the comics, where there had been a lot of, sexy, voluptuous, dressed in very revealing clothing, not particularly smart or strong women. And he really started changing that and created a lot of very, very important female characters.
Well, and it's actually interesting because Marvel Comics in particular has been representing more than just, the Aryan race for a long time now. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of people of color in their comics. There was a very famous comic, which I actually bought because of how famous it was, which was there was two gay characters introduced to the X-Men. And 1 Million Moms, I think the group is called, were all mad about it. They were like, if you keep making these gay characters in your comics, we won't let our children buy them anymore. And their response was to have them get married. And I loved it so much. And I feel like what's happening in the government right now is what Marvel was doing for a long time. They were kind of stirring the pot and saying, why shouldn't we have some more representation in there? Why shouldn't we show, the lifeblood of the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a whole different world, and but I think that the fact that they're all over the movie screens now has opened it up to people who had no idea about all these characters. Of course, Black Panther was a pretty cool movie.
Yeah.
Well, this has been an interesting prelude, I guess, to what is coming up around many a Thanksgiving table for a lot of families this week. So before we say goodbye, Kevin, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I'm incredibly happy about this diverse group in Congress. But until we get equal representation for all races, genders, and minorities, we need to keep fighting.
Boy, I agree with that. How about you, Monica?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's more to be done. I think there's changes to be made all across the board. I think we need to let some of these changes happen. You know, we need to encourage them to happen, and we need to listen to the voices that have been, like, screaming for a long time now.
And one of the things that I'd like to say is that I was one of the hundreds of thousands of women who marched in January of 2017 in a women's march, a pussy march, that went on all around not only the United States but all over the country. And I was in Washington, D.C., and as excited as I was to see that reaction, which I think was really the seeds of what we just saw in this election, is I looked around and said, well, where were all of you on Election Day? And so I'm very, maybe that was the painful experience that we had to go through in order to see what happens when maybe you don't weigh in and make sure that your voice is represented by voting. So I hope that this momentum continues with the next generation of leaders coming into power. But you know what? The seasoned leaders have plenty to contribute to.
Agreed. They do have plenty to contribute.
All right. Well, our thanks to Kevin Doyle Farrell, my son, for joining this conversation. He and I have been having heated conversations all through his lifetime, and they'll definitely continue. I hope you'll come again, Kevin. And we'd like to hear from our listeners. There's lots of ways to get in touch with us. You can email us through my website, andoilstrategies.com. You can start a conversation with us at Powering Up Women, Twitter, at andoilldr, on Instagram, andoilldr, same thing. So we'd really love to hear from you. I'm Ann Doyle.
And I'm Monica Doyle.
And let's go power up.
Power up.
Thanks for listening to our Powering Up podcast, everybody. We hope you'll subscribe and share us with your network. And remember, power is the currency for getting things done. That's why getting comfortable with power is essential.